Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Very happy trade deadline day to all those who celebrate. How you doing? Happy August, by the way, as well. Spencer at Sports with you here on 1600 KGYM. You can also find us on the FM side of the dial, too, 102.3 and 106.3 in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, respectively. Streaming worldwide across the globe from our international broadcast center to your home or your smartphone, too. KGYMradio.com, also the free KGYM Sports Radio app. Download it today. Stream us wherever you go, right in your pocket. Your pocket companion, I guess you could call us that. Spencer Wagon, my name. Producer Isaac back with us here on this August 1st of 2023. Lots to get to in the next hour of radio magic for you here. 319-366-1600, talk or text line, as always, wide open and ready and waiting for you to interact with the show. Lots to get to, like I said. Start with a little college football. It's a monumental day. 1st of August means we are even closer to the start of college football. 30 days exactly away from the start of the Big Ten slate. August 31st is when we will get things going officially in the Big Ten. But, you know, if you've listened to the show long enough, we love college football. Therefore, week zero is a national holiday, and we will celebrate week zero accordingly. So even fewer days until we get things going on week zero with the excitement of UTEP at Jacksonville State. I know you are all looking forward to that, as am I. Well, we'll do a little college football talk to start up the show here in just a little bit. Some news out of the Pac-12 that they're still trying to figure out this media deal. I feel like, you know, every time we hear about it, we talk about it, it's like, oh, yeah, it's coming up shortly. 2 weeks away. In a little while, still don't have one agreed to, but there was a meeting today, and, well, with the members growing restless, I guess is the remaining members growing restless, I feel like they need to come up with something ASAP, don't they? Colorado is leaving, there's rumors, and it's that cycle where it's kind of hard to maybe separate fact from fiction. There's a lot of sources talking about this and that. I got the feeling if the Pac-12, and I'm sure you do too, if the Pac-12 doesn't come up with something that's adequate for their members, the remaining ones, the remaining nine, well, they might not exist anymore. And Arizona and Arizona State, well, there's a board meeting, a Board of Regents meeting scheduled later on today that we'll get to. Some intel from Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated about what happened today, as the Pac-12 apparently had a meeting to get presented at least the current state of their TV deal that could come to fruition at any moment now. That coming up here in just a little bit. It's also watch list season. Number of State of Iowa football players placed on respective watch lists today. And we got a preseason poll. I know how much y'all love those. The ACC preseason poll. To highlight all the other conferences, aside from the Big Ten and Big 12, when they come out with news like this, we'll tell you what team projected to win the ACC for 2023 here in just a few moments. Big day for baseball. You heard SportsCenter report the news a few moments ago. Justin Verlander headed back to Houston. The New York Mets parting with two of their high-priced pitchers. Max Scherzer traded to Texas over the weekend. Now Justin Verlander traded to Scherzer's division rival, Houston Astros, place where he's had, well, great success before. Justin Verlander, the big name, changing hands today. A few other trades within the last 24 hours since we spoke last that we will talk about. Curious to hear, we had a lot of Cub fans. I'm sure we still have a lot of Cubs fans listening to the show today. How do you feel about your acquisitions, your team's acquisitions at the deadline or before the deadline from yesterday? Jamer Candelario, the big names, big bats, best bats left on the market. Now a Chicago Cub, back to being a Chicago Cub, I guess you could also say. Let me know how you feel about that. Cub fans, 319-366-1600. We'll talk some baseball before 3 o'clock as well. And why the Super Bowl could be a little slimy this year. Not in real life, but I think you could really spice up the Super Bowl. You could spice up any championship by adding neon green slime. Isaac, you're shaking your head no, you don't agree that you could spice up a championship by adding neon green slime?
I think I don't hate it. Have you watched the playoff ones?
I have.
I have watched it too. It's honestly not the worst. I think it's kind of fun how they have like a kid commentator.
Yes.
And stuff like, not to like spoil what you're talking about, right, or anything like that, which I'm sure you'll get to later, but it's a little bit of a fun time.
It is. They had the game on Christmas, right, last year, mm-hmm, the Rams and the Broncos, where they had the voice of Patrick Starr.
Oh, yeah.
Roasting Russell Wilson on live TV. That's a sports image that I think will go down in history, being one of the most.
They had a Mitch Trubisky, yes, win the MVP, which was,
yes,
didn't he lose? Didn't the Bears lose?
The Bears lost. They had a really awful, he had a really bad performance. Yeah. Not like awful, but it was not, no,
it was
clearly
subpar,
not,
yeah,
but that's what happens when you have fan voting. But yes, we'll dive a little bit more into that coming up in just a bit. We did not get the preview from you yesterday. Mm-hmm. I did not stay up to watch, and I'm kind of glad I didn't, because it was a pretty brutal game last night for the U.S. women's soccer team. But 0-0 tie, they advance. Carly Lloyd with some comments overnight saying that she was embarrassed that they were kind of celebrating on the field. Mm-hmm. A lot to swallow with this for the U.S. women's national team. Did you stay up to watch the match last night?
I did not. I rewatched it this morning, though. It's the same problems that they had in the Netherlands game, where they got overrun in the midfield. The coach refuses to make changes tactically or lineup wise until it's too late. I mean, he made one change pretty early on. He brought Rapinoe on for Sophia Smith, and then he didn't make a change until the 84th minute, when that's far too long to make any sort of, like, those subs can't make any sort of significant impact on the game. And I think it's leaning towards they're going to get knocked out in their next game. They're most likely going to play Sweden. Sweden has looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
And unless Vlatko, who is the head coach, makes significant changes tactically or, you know, lineup wise, like putting Ertz in the midfield where she belongs, like that is where she fits. They have other center backs they can use instead of putting Julie Ertz at center back. It just, the midfield's getting overrun because Sullivan, you know, God bless her, she's just not good enough right now in that position. There is a massive gap between the defensive midfielder and the center backs, and every team is finding that space and exploiting it. And so unless something like that changes, they're going to lose to Sweden. And finishing still isn't good. I don't want to really get into the mindset thing too much, just because I think that's really hard to quantify. Really, like, just by watching it, it seems like they're trying. I just don't think they're tactically prepared, which comes down to the head coach. He's getting outclassed by every coach he goes up against. And I don't know. There's an element of blame of the players, but I think the bigger person to blame is the head coach. And I'd be shocked if he keeps his job at the end of this tournament, because you have a disappointing Olympics run where Canada won the gold a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this would be a very disappointing World Cup run. If they get knocked out in the first knockout stage, that'd be highly disappointing, coming in as the favorite number one ranked team in the world for the past forever. And you lose in the first knockout stage. I think I'd be shocked if the U.S. Soccer Federation did not make a change there. Just really frustrating, though. Same sort of issues that they've had. They just too late of changes. Tactically, they are inept. They're just hoping on these moments from really great players,
mm-hmm,
to make great moments happen, and that's not an effective way at winning games. You can't just rely and be like, hopefully Rose Lavelle has a fantastic pass over the top. Against good teams, that doesn't work.
Right.
I mean, maybe against, you know, lower teams like Vietnam, you'll be able to knock in three. But against someone who's very sound at the back like Portugal or someone who is very good in possession and sound, technically sound and tactically sound like Sweden, you're going to get pushed around and your midfield's not going to be able to, you know, touch the ball at all.
What did I see the time? 5 a.m. Was it Saturday or Sunday for the next matchup against likely Sweden? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, set that alarm early. At least it's on the weekend, I guess, for the next matchup, right? But still, if you stayed up late last night to watch the U.S. women's soccer team, you are probably a little disappointed that you saw nothing, nil-nil last night in that game. But we'll keep tabs on that. Isaac is back. If you call into the show, you will obviously talk with him today. Again, thanks to Jaden for sitting in yesterday. But 319-366-1600 is the talk and text line if you want to weigh in on anything going on in the sports world today. Let's start with a little college football. I'm curious out there as we're celebrating the one-month mark, essentially, to the start of college football. I wanted to pose this to you out there, the listener. What game are you most looking forward to? Doesn't have to be week one, doesn't have to be week zero. What game are you most looking forward to in 2023? 319-366-1600. Talking college football here today. There's some interesting ones in week one. Obviously, there are the marquee matchups that you see in week one with some of the bigger name programs having the showcase games. We got LSU and Florida State last year. We'll get them again this year, that game in Orlando. You've got Clemson playing on Labor Day Monday at Duke. Pretty much everybody is going to play, obviously, because it is the first full weekend of college sports. You even got Thursday and Friday matchups. But if you had to pick one game, don't have to be necessarily an Iowa fan or Iowa State fan or, you know, a fan of any particular team to weigh in, but what college football game or have you circled on your calendar as one that you're looking forward to the most in 2023? 319-366-1600. You can weigh in on the talker text line. The Big Ten does kick off exactly 30 days from today. Nebraska at Minnesota. Thursday, August 31st is the opener for the Big Ten. Don't get any week zero action from the Big Ten here this year like we saw with Northwestern and Nebraska last year. Week zero, of course, is coming up on Saturday, August 26th, but the Big Ten will get things going in particular on Thursday, August 31st. Big Ten, of course, has their media deal all set up and ready to roll, and as we talked about at the top of the show, the Pac-12 still trying to figure things out, and a pretty important meeting, it sounds like, was expected to take place and actually did take place earlier today. Kind of interesting, and like I said before, it's kind of hard to determine until we see the final details, right? It's hard to pick out fact from fiction. There's a lot of sources that are saying, well, this is what the deal includes, this is what the deal doesn't include. I think we all just kind of had to take a, like a wait-and-see approach to this, right, to really determine and value and determine the value of this for the Pac-12, but we've seen USC and UCLA, obviously that happened, that exit, that departure is going to take place next year with them leaving the conference for the Big Ten and the Big Ten's media deal. Colorado basically saying, okay, yeah, peace out, we're going back to the Big 12. Amid this uncertainty surrounding the league and its media rights future, we got some clues today as to at least what kind of went down in this meeting. And well, essentially what happened, according to Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated, is, well, pretty much nothing. Dellinger reporting on Twitter or X, the website formerly known as Twitter, that the Pac-12 presidents and athletic directors did meet this morning. They were presented with details of a TV deal. Executives left the hour-long meeting with no agreement, but with the expectation of eventually concluding a deal. Dellinger says another meeting is planned soon. So they had a meeting. They were presented with details of a TV deal, but there was no agreement. So at least I guess they're making progress, right? I just feel like, and I said this before, you need to have something in place to prevent any further defections from your league. Because I think the other schools kind of see where this is going. They see this process playing out. They see George Kliavkoff, the commissioner of the Pac-12, going up on stage saying, yeah, we're working on it. We're trying to make things make things go, make things click, get this all sealed away. And the deadline keeps moving. The goalposts keep moving. And nothing really seems to come of it, although if we are to believe the reporting from Ross Dellinger and other sources, there is some sort of agreement. They agree to continue working toward an agreement, but they will eventually conclude a deal, according to Ross Dellinger. So no news still for the Pac-12, apparently, today. Going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because there's talk of Arizona going to the Big 12. Arizona goes. Does Arizona State go with them? What about Utah? Utah, I read something the other day, and again, it's all, you know, rumors and reports and sources and such. But Utah, they've won the Pac-12 last few years. They've had good moments in the spotlight. Would they leave behind the success they've had to go to the Big 12? And if those schools leave, what happens to the rest of the conference, like a Stanford, a Cal, an Oregon, a Washington? I would imagine Oregon and Washington, who've long been rumored to be joining or wanting to join the Big 10, maybe get their invite finally to the conference that they wanted to be in. Who knows? But feels like a pretty important moment here for the Pac-12 as they move forward and continue to work on this TV deal. John Canzano reporting here today as well that the Pac-12 presidents, Pac-12 ADs were, quote, excited and aligned. Whatever that means, excited and aligned. That would lead you to believe, right, that they think that's a good deal, think the media deal is a good one. But they still need to have another meeting to get final approval on it. So we're still waiting on that news from the Pac-12. But sounds like the meeting was positive. If you're believing the reports that are out, it was excitement, alignment. At least right now, they're all in this together. We'll see if things keep moving down the road that, well, maybe some schools get impatient. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, right? Because, boy, if you're kind of just hanging out there waiting and waiting and waiting, and you see these other conferences, the money coming in, better opportunities to showcase your program, your school, can't imagine that teams would want to continue waiting. But waiting is what they will do with the Pac-12. It was dubbed a big meeting, very important meeting for the Pac-12. And there is alignment, it sounds like. See how aligned they truly are here going forward. I mentioned preseason polls continue to come out. We've talked about all the major conferences lately. The ACC, the latest to put out their preseason poll. And surprise, surprise, Clemson picked to win the ACC. What is the acronym they use? I've seen this before. ACC, when they win the championship, it's another Clemson championship. They rebrand, not the Atlantic Coast Conference, another Clemson championship. And that's at least what the media is picking for 2023. Clemson just edging out Florida State in the preseason poll here for 2023. Florida State picked second, got 67 first place votes. North Carolina third. NC State was fourth, and Miami fifth. Interesting note, you talk about the Big Ten doing away with divisions. The ACC moving to that this year, getting away from divisions. So no more, Atlantic and Coastal, right, in the ACC. You've got one big happy family in the ACC. It means everybody is, well, I would say on equal footing, but you got the goods and the not so goods, I feel like, in the ACC, and Clemson certainly head and shoulders above everybody else, at least in the Atlantic Coast Conference. But Clemson getting 103 first place votes as they tried to right some wrongs last year. Not the Clemson team we were used to seeing. Defense kind of let them down at bad times. South Carolina that season finale, regular season finale, scored some points. Offense was stagnant last year for Clemson. Got ran over by Tennessee in the bowl game, too. And I'll see if Dabo and the crew can come out on top. Florida State expected to be a pretty good football team here in 2023. But Clemson, the preseason pick in the ACC, predicted dead last, by the way, Virginia, for what it is worth. Virginia, BC, Georgia Tech, and Virginia Tech, your bottom four projections in the ACC. 319-366-1600-225. A couple other quick college football notes to get to. It is watch list season. Couple different State of Iowa players placed on the Bronco Nagurski Trophy watch list. Cooper DeJean among them. Junior defensive back from the University of Iowa named to the 2023 Bronco Nagurski watch list. Also, don't want to exclude the Cyclones, obviously. TJ Tampa, senior defensive back for the Cyclones, also named to the Bronco Nagurski Trophy watch list. And then for Iowa State as well, Iowa State offensive lineman Jared Hufford earned a spot on the Outland Trophy watch list. One of many players to watch as a potential candidate for the award. Of course, the watch list precedes the semifinalists, precedes the finalists, precedes the actual winner of the award, which will be handed out in December. But State of Iowa football players from both Iowa and Iowa State getting some honors there today. 319-366-1600. Baseball on the minds of a lot of folks. Trade deadline now about, what, 2.5 hours away or so. Big news, as we mentioned at top of the show, Justin Verlander now back with the Houston Astros. We'll get you the latest intel as we approach the trade deadline. Love to hear your reaction, Cubs fans, NL Central fans. Thoughts on the move so far? Cardinals continue moving pieces out. Cubs adding Jamer Candelario yesterday. Brewers adding Mark Canna yesterday from the New York Mets. Which team made the most impactful move as we look toward the future here in the National League Central? We'll talk about that, get you the latest intel as we approach the trade deadline here in just a little bit. 227 Spencer on Sports back after this on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
As we continue throughout the rest of our day today, a good mixture of some sun and clouds throughout the area. We will see a little more humidity and more heat for us with highs into the upper 80s. Overall, humidity will be a little more noticeable than it has been over the past few days. With humidity levels continuing to increase throughout the week, there's a slight chance for an isolated shower overnight into early tomorrow morning, but most of that should pass off towards our south, leading to a cooler day Wednesday, but we'll be returning to the 90s as we head towards Thursday, Friday. I'm WeatherFirst meteorologist Garrett Hyde, and that was a check of your latest Iowa's News Now WeatherFirst forecast.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Drive for Lives, August 15th at Hunter's Ridge Golf Course, and enjoy a day on the green supporting the Cedar Valley Humane Society. Sign up as an individual or team of four. Registration is at 11 a.m. Shotgun start at noon with cart, lunch, prizes and more.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank is a true community bank, believing service still comes with a local touch. Since 1924, Fairfax State Savings Bank provides secure, honest, relationship-based banking. They understand the little things that make our community special. Strong personal connections, sincere friendliness, and a sense of pride in local growth. And that's how they've succeeded for nearly a century. Learn more at thebankhere.com. Fairfax State Savings Bank in Fairfax, Amana, and Cedar Rapids. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Add style and security to your home with 11% off Schlage locks at Menards. Whether you're looking for a traditional interior lock or a Wi-Fi compatible electronic lock, Menards has you covered with more than 200 options of Schlage locks available. Get a satin nickel Dexter by Schlage hall and closet passage Stratus lock for only $13.99 after rebate. Good through August 6th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
What amazing feat can you accomplish in 2 seconds? You can shoot the winning shot of the championship game. You can rocket 110 feet into the sky in the world's fastest elevator. You can even perfect your yodel.
Yodel-ay-hoo.
But maybe the most monumental feat you can accomplish in 2 seconds is saving a life, your life, just by buckling your seatbelt. Click it or ticket. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere, two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, make 5 picks against the spread each week with quarterly and full season payouts, or join Circa Survivor. Select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all. $14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Circa Sports Iowa encourages you to gamble responsibly. Problems with gambling? Call or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Attention Jeep and truck enthusiasts. Join KGYM at Sadler Powertrain's off-road and outdoor event in Cedar Rapids August 5th. Visit Sadler Powertrain's Facebook page for details.
Just like that, we're back at 2:30. Spencer at Sports here at KGYM at 319-366-1600. August 1st edition of the show. Be sure you listen in to the gym class today between 3 and 4. More baseball talk coming up with them as Cal Eldred joins the radio program today, former Major League Baseball player and coach. Cal joining the guys, Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, every other Tuesday here on KGYM. And be sure you listen to the gym class this Thursday as Scott and Mark have a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Verizon 200 NASCAR race at the Brickyard in Indianapolis. Listen in this Thursday between 3 and 4. If you're the correct caller, you're able to answer the trivia question that they will ask you on Thursday. If you answer correctly, you win that 4-pack of tickets to the Verizon 200 that comes up on Sunday, August 13th. So a week from this Sunday at 2:30. In Indianapolis. More details for you at KGYMradio.com. You can vote in our poll question while you're there. Has to do with the trade deadline. Mets moving both star pitchers, both of their star pitchers, their high-priced star pitchers, Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. Verlander just this afternoon, in the last 30 minutes, trade announced he is heading back to Houston. So we're asking you, courtesy of Hawkeye Title and Settlement, which former Mets pitcher will have a bigger impact on his new team? Is it going to be Scherzer in Texas or Verlander in Houston? You can vote at KGYMradio.com. The return for the trade, the Mets, getting a couple top outfield prospects, I believe number one and number four prospects in return for Justin Verlander. The Mets getting Drew Gilbert, who was the number one prospect in the Astros system. Drew Gilbert heading to the New York Mets. Also Ryan Clifford, another outfielder prospect, heading to the Mets in exchange for Justin Verlander. Gilbert was a 2022 first-round pick. So right off the gate, he was widely considered the best prospect in their system and now headed to the New York Mets as part of the Justin Verlander trade. So you can weigh in at KGYMradio.com which former Mets pitcher is going to have an impact on his new team. Certainly Cub fans, and again, love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. Cub fans hoping a couple of their acquisitions from yesterday certainly will have an impact on their push here to challenge for not only the wild card, but maybe a division title. We talked yesterday, the stats show 25%, 26% chance, according to FanGraphs, for the Cubs to make the playoffs. So not a certainty, but the way they've been playing baseball lately, really interesting how this is flipped, right? This is baseball in a nutshell. You could be a team that's, they're for sure to be sellers. They're going to sell. Marcus Stroman's going to be on the market. Cody Bellinger's going to be on the market. But now they're buyers, and they got probably the best bat or one of the best bats and a pretty good defensive player on the market yesterday, and got him for a couple prospects. Jamer Candelario, who, of course, if you're a Cubs fan, you know he was in the organization previously. But Jamer Candelario and cash considerations headed to the Cubs from the Washington Nationals yesterday in exchange for left-handed pitcher DJ Hertz and a minor league infielder, Kevin Madej. Candelario hitting .258, with 16 home runs and 53 ribbies through 368 at-bats. Candelario making his debut with the Cubs back in 2016. Appeared in five games for Chicago back in 2016 and was sent to Detroit in 2017, where he had some decent success there in Detroit. Sent to Washington, one-year deal signed in November of 2022. Wasn't sent there. He signed with Washington, to be factually correct there. But as this race gets more and more interesting in the NL Central, who's going to make the most impactful move? And I think the Cubs certainly made made a good move there. Candelario was a position of need for the Cubs. You see him at third. You could see him first base, or even as a DH moving forward. A lot of teams were vying for his services, and to give up the prospects you did and get him in return, I think you certainly gave yourself a little bit of a better chance here to improve your offensive lineup and move forward here and continue to make a push. Now, we talked about this yesterday. I think this is a stretch where we're going to learn, you know, just what the Cubs are. They've played some teams that not necessarily the best teams in Major League Baseball. We've talked about their schedule recently, playing the Cardinals for four, the White Sox for two, four more against the Cardinals, and coming out relatively unscathed in there. Add in the Washington Nationals, too, winning two of three between July 17th to the 19th against Washington. Winning three of four against the Cardinals in the first series, three of four against the Cardinals in the most recent series. And now coming into two teams that are all above them in the National League standings as a whole. Cincinnati, of course, above them in the National League Central standings. Reds winning last night 6-5. Handing Marcus Stroman a loss last night, now 10-8 on the year. Gonna see what the Cubs are made of here, and see if this this turnaround was just them playing not so great teams at the right time, or is it a spark they need to show they are in contention here? And still three games left with Cincinnati, again all at home. Three game set against the Braves coming up Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Braves did lose last night, but we've seen what the Braves can do this year. They are a very good baseball team. That lineup is dangerous. They are trying to get pitching help here, and certainly getting someone who can maybe help your offense just that much more in Jamer Candelario certainly will hopefully, if you're a Cubs fan, push them forward. But you tell me, Cubs fans, how do you feel about Candelario? 319-366-1600. The Brewers were in on him. The Brewers wanted him. Your Cubs beat them to it. I'm not happy. No. Hey, it's going to be this is the kind of baseball you want, right? You want to have teams in contention battling it out. As much as we like to ooh and ah, and I just talked up the Braves a few moments ago, but as much as we like to ooh and ah, you know, team 30 games above 500, 11 games up in the division on their next closest opponent. They're a really good team. In fact, I picked them to go to the World Series this year, the Atlanta Braves. It's still fun to see the divisions come down to the very end, right? Reds, Brewers, now the Cubs, question mark. It's good to have them playing meaningful baseball, and that's the kind of race you want to see. If you just love the game and you want to see it come down here to the final few months of the season, still got to get through this month and next month before we really get down to it. But I think the Cubs, putting them in position at least to continue the run of success they've been on. Will they continue the run of success? That, of course, is the real question. Cubs, as of today, after the loss last night to Cincinnati, five games back of the Reds. At 53-53, the Reds are a game and a half up on Milwaukee. Reds 59-49, leading the Brewers by 1.5 games here heading into action tonight. Cubs manager David Ross, this is courtesy of Marquee Sports Network, weighed in on the team's acquisitions from Monday, bringing in Jamer Candelario, also making a trade, swinging a trade for Jose Quas, reliever from the Kansas City Royals bullpen. Jose Quas coming over in a one-for-one swap. Nelson Velazquez headed to the Kansas City organization in exchange for Quas. Here is what David Ross had to say about the new Cubbies and how they fit in with the team moving forward. Let's see if I can play the right audio clip here. Maybe actually play you the audio. Isaac, you're supposed to keep track of this. Come on. Let's actually play the audio for them. Here it is.
Candy, it's funny how the baseball world works. And, you know, my first spring training here, he was there and a teammate. So every time I see him and follow, you kind of follow from a distance and be able to put up the numbers he's been putting up this year and be able to come over here and help us out. That's huge. I know him just as a person, great human being, and obviously the player he's been and having a really good season, so happy to get him back. I think they're trying to add as much as we possibly can to help the club. He's a guy that they identified that's got some options, and he's got some things that I know looks pretty nasty, three-quarter delivery, sinker slider, real stuff. So I think he can help us.
Cubs manager David Ross, courtesy of the Marquee Sports Network, weighing in on bringing in Jamer Candelario and Jose Quas. Quas, by the way, this year 4.08 ERA across 79 and a third career innings. That is his career numbers here for the reliever. Came in with Kansas City's roster last summer, 92 appearances over the past 2 years, now a member of the Cubs bullpen. 319-366-1600, 4010. Weighing in, saying if the Cubs don't get relief help, the moves of yesterday are not going to be enough to get them over the hump. Still, what, under 2.5 hours to make a move? See if they do make additional moves here. But not out of the race, not out of the hunt. This series, this next six-game series, I've said this before, keep saying it because it's true. Cubs go out and lose. I don't think they're going to lose every game, but if they don't have a good showing, might be all for naught, especially when you're playing Cincinnati. They do have, and I'm looking at the schedule here, pardon me, they do have the Brewers yet for two more series. So it could come down to maybe if the Cubs stay in the wild card contention, two pretty important series here. They play the Brewers at Wrigley 28th, 29th, and 30th of this month. The last series of the season. How fun is that? Cubs and Brewers up at AmFam Field. Still calling it Miller Park, much like I'm still calling X Twitter. Brewers and Cubs, September 29th, 30th, and October 1st at American Family Field. It could come down to that. Could very well come down to that. Cubs have a pretty favorable schedule once they get past the Braves. Here are some teams that are in contention. A lot of teams that are not. That is for sure. Speaking of the Brewers, they made a move yesterday. I like it. I didn't really get a chance to talk about it yesterday. Speaking, I'll put my Brewer fan glasses on here for just a little bit. There are two names connected that I saw a lot of people talking about yesterday. Mark Canha, who Milwaukee ended up with, and Tommy Pham. And while Tommy Pham's had a good year this year, I think he's a good baseball player. I'm just not a fan of him. Period. So I'm kind of glad that Milwaukee was able to get Canha and not Tommy Pham, but the Brewers getting Canha in exchange for Justin Jarvis, who is the Brewers' number 30 prospect last year, or on this current squad, I should say. He was in AAA. Justin Jarvis, a minor league pitcher, heading to the New York Mets in exchange for Mark Canha. Brewers getting some help with Canha's salary as well. New York going to pay his remaining salary for this year. The Brewers will handle his option and buyout for next year. So the Mets fire sale continues with that move there. Other moves of note as we approach the trade deadline here coming up at 5 o'clock Central Time. Chicago White Sox, they, according to sources, are open to trading anyone but Luis Robert. So there you go. Fair game. Tim Anderson, Eloy Jimenez have been linked to a number of different squads. Doesn't sound like, at least based on reporting from John Heyman, that Dylan Cease is going to be moved. The asking price is substantial for him. But the White Sox, per 670, the score in Chicago, are open to trading anyone but Luis Robert. So we could see a few more White Sox bats or pitchers. They've traded enough of them away already here this week leading up to the trade deadline. The White Sox open to trading anyone but Robert, per numerous sources. The Twins also apparently inquiring on a handful of players, including two guys we talked about yesterday, Teoscar Hernandez and Ty France, both of the Seattle Mariners, who are kind of an interesting place to be in if you're the Mariners. You're not out of the wild card race. You're kind of battling with the Angels, who've went all in here at the deadline. They're starting to trade away pieces. The Mariners are. Saw them trade away Paul Sewald, their closer, to Arizona. Currently listening to offers for Teoscar Hernandez and Ty France. That's per John Morosi. Hernandez and France, both players the Twins rumored to be interested in. Cardinals continue their trades here. Paul DeJong headed to Toronto. Interesting move there, and a move probably necessitated by what happened with Bo Bichette last night and a loss to the Orioles last night. Bichette rounding first, felt some pain in his knee. Bo Bichette, one of the best young players in the game. Got to have a backup for him, and Paul DeJong, a nice rental there for St. Louis, or for Toronto, excuse me, as he comes over from St. Louis. Some interesting stuff, interesting talk happening today, too, surrounding possible trades for Mitch Keller. Pittsburgh Pirates making some moves here today. Pirates moving a number of players, notably today, Rich Hill and G-Man Choi, in exchange for some prospects and some other players, Jackson Wolf, S.U.R. Suero, and Alfonso Rivas heading back to Pittsburgh in that trade. When it talks about controllable pitchers, controllable players moving forward, controllable players through at least 2024, John Heyman reporting that one of the teams moving or looking at rental pieces, or not rentals, but pitchers that are under team control through 2024. Number of names come up. One of the names mentioned is Mitch Keller. Certainly would be interesting to see if the Pirates do move on from him. He's been their best pitcher for much of the season. Pirates have, of course, really hit the skids here since their good start to the year, 47-58, 10.5 back in the division. See if he is a name that does pop up here in the next 2 hours or so before the deadline. A couple interesting bits of trivia. If you love baseball trivia, this will help with your immaculate grid too. Brad Hand and Rich Hill. I mentioned Rich Hill just a moment ago. They fit the description of journeymen to a T when it comes down to it. Brad Hand today, as Colorado continues a fire sale, traded to the Atlanta Braves. So another, you know, potential worst to first situation there. Brad Hand with that move is on his 9th MLB team. Rich Hill moving from Pittsburgh to San Diego, that is his 13th major league team. Get that immaculate grid all ready to go. Whatever you need someone, automatically look at Brad Hand and Rich Hill. I've been playing the football one, and I will say this. I thought I knew football, the immaculate grid. I'm terrible at the NBA one. I don't know how, but maybe I just don't know the NBA that well. I know the Bucks grid. Whenever they show up, I could fill that one in easily. But you ask me somebody who played for the Atlanta Hawks and the Charlotte Hornets, okay, cool. The NFL one, I swear I know NFL players, but I'm really good at the baseball one. The NFL one I struggle with. I've noticed one of the most common answers lately, two guys. This is help for you who've been doing the immaculate grid for the NFL. Tyrod Taylor and Ryan Fitzpatrick, because they've both played for a ridiculous amount of teams. And I feel like that's going to be Rich Hill and Brad Hand here. 9th and 13th, or 13th and 9th MLB teams, respectively, after their trades today. I love the Immaculate Grid. That's the ultimate remember some guys thing that's right up our alley here at KGYM, but it's a fun game. I am terrible at the NFL one. I thought it'd be better. I need to study my football players.
I'm pretty good at the NBA one. I'm not great at the NFL one. The NBA, though, Ish Smith and Jeff Green.
Yep.
Those two you can usually get for most teams there. But I've done pretty well with the NBA one. I got Ryan Anderson on one of them the other day that had like 0.6%. I was pretty happy about that.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I know the baseball one, but who did I pull? Chad Qualls. Remember Chad Qualls? I pulled him out of thin air the other day on the baseball one. It was like Pirates and Yankees, I think it was. Or Astros and Yankees. I don't remember what the grid was, but out of all the players, like, you know, Astros and Yankees, you could put Garrett Cole. Pirates and Yankees, you could put Garrett Cole. And when they give you the answers, then you're like, oh, now you feel stupid because you could have thought of this Hall of Famer and you ended up remember Tyler Thornburg? You just put him in there, and I was like, well, how did I not guess this well-known player? And I came up with former prospect for the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. I don't know how that works. It's just how my brain's wired, I guess. All right, 251. That's the latest on baseball. We'll keep you up to date here throughout the rest of local shows. Got to take a quick break. Back with news about new way to watch the Super Bowl. We hinted at it at the top of the show. Very slimy Super Bowl coming to your TV screen. More on that in just a bit. Spencer at Sports with you here in KGYM. Yeah.
Jason Aldean. Live in concert. August 20th, Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines. And that's what tequila does. With special guest Corey Kent. Jason Aldean.
We back in the saddle.
Live in concert.
Making the whole place rattle.
August 20th, Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines.
When the lights come on.
Reserve tickets on sale now through iowastatefair.org and at the Iowa State Fair ticket office.
Let's get this thing started. It's my kind of party.
Convenience fees apply to all tickets. Jason Aldean, live in concert. With Corey Kent. August 20th, Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines.
Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
With summer in full swing, now's the perfect time to head to the ballpark. Score great deals on great seats from our friends at Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Every crack of the bat, every diving catch, every heart-pounding play. Experience it live, in person, from the first pitch to the final inning. Vivid Seats has a huge selection of MLB tickets, and they're the only ticket company that rewards your purchases. For the best selection of 2023, shop now. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
253 back with Spencer at Sports. A few more minutes here with you on a Tuesday afternoon through a 936-6-1600. Sure, you're joined Todd Brommelkamp broadcasting live at Sadler Powertrain Truck Parts and Service. It's their second annual off-road and outdoor event this Saturday from 11 till 2 on Cedar Rapids Southwest Side. Stop on by and say hi to Todd and check out all the fun they're having this weekend. More details for you at kgymradio.com. 319-366-1600. The Brewers are on the Immaculate Grid today, so that's three answers I will get correct. So I cannot fail the baseball immaculate grid today. That is for sure. I didn't. Let's say who's on the football immaculate grid. We should. I'm disappointed because we're getting beyond the summer's here. It's true category, and I feel like we could just do a full show with me filling out each immaculate grid. That would be great radio. I'm sure the bosses that are listening to this right now are like, man, this is why we pay Spencer all that money to sit here and play an internet game of remember some guys. Broncos and Panthers. Man, I see that's tough, man. They have a hockey immaculate grid too. Oh boy, I know nothing about hockey. That would be a disaster. I would just, is there a way I can like sim the immaculate grid hockey one? Is that doable? I don't think so. 319-366-1600. Gym class is coming up next. Isaac, you and I hinted at it at the top of the show. The NFL and CBS Sports announcing earlier today the Super Bowl is going to have a kid-centric presentation on, yes, Nickelodeon this year. It's the first time the Super Bowl has had an alternate telecast on another network. CBS has the rights to the Super Bowl. CBS and Nick owned by the same parent company, so therefore they can do this. And while the Super Bowl, the real thing, is being played on CBS, you can watch the Nickelodeon kid-friendly version on Nick coming up on February 11th. Which version would you prefer? I'm still probably going to stick with the actual broadcast just because I like football, and when the game's on, I want to actually understand and see what's going on. But at the same time, I think I may switch over to the Nick broadcast just to see the slime, and maybe they have SpongeBob talking about stuff.
Making fun of other NFL players.
Yes.
I mean, I think I'll flip over maybe once or twice, but for the most part, I'll probably stick with the normal broadcast. My girlfriend, she loves the Nickelodeon broadcast. She was so excited when it happened, and she was like, look at all the slime. She didn't even watch Nickelodeon as a kid. Apparently, her mom didn't really let her watch Nick shows.
Really?
She was more of a Disney kid, but she loved the Nick broadcast.
Hey,
so
it's
crazy, I guess.
Yeah, it's been pretty successful. The first game was the 2020 wildcard game where Mitch Trubisky won the MVP, and that got 2.06 million viewers. Last year's Christmas game between the Broncos and Rams, where Patrick Starr roasted Russell Wilson on live TV, that averaged about 906,000. The Super Bowl Nickelodeon game going to be on in the UK, Australia, and New Zealand as well. So across several ponds for the Nickelodeon Super Bowl broadcast.
I do wonder how popular, I know it's pretty decent over in the UK. I wonder how popular the Super Bowl is in like Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, I don't know. There's probably interest.
I think there's some.
It's punters. A worldwide event, you know. Probably a lot of people tuning in for the commercials and the halftime show too. But should be interesting to see that. 2:57, that'll wrap up the show for today. Gym class is next, followed by a Todd Bromwell Camp show. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow at 2:00.